Namibia's future, believing that harnessing its natural resources would drive national prosperity.
We started talking about Kunene, and that is now when I found out that he has this passion for geology. And the discussions went and he started talking about how he envisioned the railway coming from Tsumeme.
Catch last night's full bulletin on OneAfrica.tv and weeknights at 7. You can watch it on GoTV Channel 84, DSTV Channel 284, or stream for free on OneAfrica.tv. To our southern neighbour, where its minister in the presidency, Kumbutso Ntshavheni, has dismissed claims that budget disagreements are a battle between the ANC and DA. She said the decision to postpone the budget to the 12th of March was made by the cabinet as a whole, not by individual parties, and that even ANC ministers had differing views on the proposed VAT increase.
And the focus of the discussion is about what is the balance that we need to achieve between managing our fiscal framework, managing our ability to protect the interests of South Africans in general and the poor at utmost. How do we deal with the inequality that confronts all of us?
Continentally, the Democratic Republic of Congo, according to Reuters, has formally requested military assistance from Chad to combat the escalating insurgency by Rwanda-backed M23 rebels in its eastern provinces. A Chadian official and a source from the Congolese presidency confirmed the request following a meeting between Congo's Minister for Regional Integration and Chad's president. In international news, a measles outbreak linked to unvaccinated children in the U.S. West Texas is now spreading to vaccinated individuals. Local health officials say four people who have had their jabs are now amongst those infected, as Tony Waterman reports.
The number of confirmed cases has now risen to 58, mostly among school-aged children. Health officials say 13 people have been hospitalized and that four vaccinated individuals are among those infected. The outbreak is also jumping state borders, with eight confirmed cases reported in neighboring New Mexico. Measles is one of the most contagious diseases on the planet, and experts expect the number of cases to rise. Vaccination rates in Texas and across the U.S. have dropped since the COVID-19 pandemic. Tony Waterman, Texas.
Find all these stories and so much more on our website, futuremedianews.com.na. Future Media News, independent, accurate, and on time.
Headlines on Nova Sunrise.
Coming up in your 8:30 sports, Stormers rookie Roche called to Bok camp as Rassie casts the net wider. Latham and Young tons help New Zealand hammer Pakistan and charges to play in Sao Paulo as NFL returns to Brazil.
Thinking Financially is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes, pioneering insights to deliver advice and solutions that impact your life.
Taking a look at your latest economic indicators, the dollar is trading at 18.51 to the US dollar and at 19.30 to the euro. One British pound costs $23.31. Gold is currently selling at $2,944 US dollars, 99 cents a fine ounce, while Brent crude oil costs $76.04 a barrel. In more detailed financial news, in an afternoon of high drama, South African Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana's budget has been postponed after his proposal for a 2 percentage point VAT increase was rejected by the ANC's Government of National Unity Partners. While the budget is released to journalists under conditions of lockdown and the embargo may not be broken, DA leader John Steenhuisen revealed the VAT hike of 2 percentage points while addressing the joint sitting, making it public. The status of the rest of the budget information, which is hundreds of pages long, has not yet been clarified. The DA has argued that the government should find other ways to balance the budget rather than increasing taxes or borrowing, and Steenhuisen described the postponement as a, quote, victory for the people of South Africa, arguing that a VAT increase would have broken the back of the economy.
Thinking Financially was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes, pioneering insights to deliver advice and solutions that impact your life.
When hot coffee and thick socks just aren't enough.
Ooh, looks like another sick day.
David on Nova Sunrise, weekdays from 6 to 10.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's Altered Images on Nova 103.5. Not my birthday, but it always feels great. It's that benefit of being in this position that you get to speak to people. So Namibia's men's and women's hockey teams both recently competed at the FIH Indoor World Cup in Croatia. And I am super happy to have the coaches Shane and Trevor Cormack in the studio with me. Good morning.
Morning, Dave. Thanks.
Morning.
So, I mean, you guys are a real hockey power couple. You've got a long history playing, obviously coaching. Your daughter was also one of the key players in the tournament. What is it about hockey that has the Cormack family in its grip?
It's just in our bloodline. I mean, it's in our DNA. My grandparents, my father, you know, just in our background, it's just always been part of our family, and it's just been our destiny.
Okay, so before we go any further, I played hockey years and years and years ago. Back then, there was only field hockey. Even there, it looks like some of the rules have changed since I was playing. But can you just quickly explain to us, how does indoor hockey differ from field hockey?
Well, it's just a smaller format, just like sevens rugby is to 15s rugby. I think it was a format that they needed to find to make the game a little bit more exciting. Also, from a European perspective, you can't play outdoor in winter. Mm. So it's basically a winter format for the European countries. And the difference between the two is a smaller field. It's indoors. We have boards, so the ball's always in play most times. And you can't lift the ball like you can in outdoor, so your skill opportunities are a little bit different. And of course, six players and not 11. And it's just faster, more skillful, and we think quite exciting.
Mm. Yeah. And then, I mean, the shorter time period as well, like you say, can keep people hooked. My wife was quite shocked when she was watching and the ball hit the board and bounced back in, and she's like, "What? They don't have outs?"
It's tiring.
Yeah, I can imagine watching the teams running was crazy. Okay, so I mean, Shane, you wrote a very heartfelt letter to Namibian supporters while you were over there, explaining, you know, just how much of an achievement it is for our teams to, you know, I mean, not only have qualified for the tournament, but to have done as well as they have. I mean, can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, the last few World Cups, you know, we battled to get to quarterfinals. I mean, you've got European teams, and they got six spots at the World Cup. So, you know, the rest of the world have the other six. Mm. And if you get to top six, you're guaranteed two spots for your continent. So that's quite something to strive for.
Mm.
And, you know, so the SA ladies weren't faring too well, and they are, you know, our benchmark, because that's all we get to play against for the past 4 years, you know, to actually prepare for the World Cup. So, yeah, you know, just to get some perspective, when we got to the quarterfinals, we were up against it. I mean, all the European teams got through to the quarterfinals, and it was a big mountain ahead of us. And I just wanted people to get perspective. If we don't get a top six spot, it could mean that we'd have to play qualifiers again against SA.
Hmm.
It could set Namibia ladies hockey back 10 years if we don't get those opportunities.
Yeah.
So I really wanted the community to know what we're striving for, and to know that those girls are putting it all out there for the future generation. So if they do get to a top six, that means we're securing two spots for Africa, and we're doing this for our country, not for ourselves. So they just needed to know, yeah, the mountain ahead of us and what we were striving for in that Thailand match.
Yeah. I mean, is there any way that this can be changed? You're saying we only really get to play against South Africa. You know, could the teams, are they? Is there any way that we could get more opportunities to play?
Yeah, well, I was saying to Trev, you know, coming back, it's not a three-month process. We don't have the money. Mm. I mean, we're very, very grateful for what the ministry did for us to come through for us like that in big numbers, you know, to actually compete at the World Cup, but also only 1 month preparation at that level. So it's a four-year cycle. We need the next 4 years. We need the backing. We need the opportunities. We need to get caps for our national players. Mm. Against European teams, not against African teams and Oceania teams and so forth. We really need the backing, financial backing, over the next 4 years. We need a plan. We need to start tomorrow if we want better results at the next World Cup in 2029.
I mean, sort of the professionalization of a lot of Namibian sports is where the problem comes. And I remember the commentators were mentioning different types of leagues overseas as well, that it's, you know, playing the club leagues and all of those sorts of things. I know that most of our players have obviously got jobs and commitments back here at home because, you know, that you can't afford to get paid just to play sport in Namibia. But those professional leagues, you know, are there any that could have possibly scouted any of our players to, you know, go and play overseas?
Well, you know, they scout, but you still have to do the groundwork. I mean, you've got the Kasim brothers that play for SA were instrumental in their third place. I mean, those two boys went out 4 years ago already playing in Europe, just getting the exposure, getting their names out there. And they weren't approached. We have to approach clubs. And they don't need players. They've got the players. So you really have to make your mark. And, you know, we can send footage. You can do what we like. We went to the Netherlands. We played top clubs there. They didn't even know where the World Cup was, you know. They just are such a superior league that they just, so I don't think they realized, you know, what we have to do to actually compete at that level. And maybe Trev wants to come in here a little bit about how he feels about European exposure, etc.
Yeah, I think the problem is, David, is that, you know, you can sit all day and say we should be playing overseas. The problem is they look after their own as well. So they're not really interested in a Namibian or South African coming unless they really, really are stand out. So fortunately, we have got players, and a lot of our youth now are aspiring to go over. Unfortunately, you don't just walk into the big league. You have to pay the schooling fees.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our players don't realize that. You know, our community, we think, is a little bit entitled and think that we are the bee's knees. But when, you know, we're just small fish in a big pond, you know. So unfortunately, you have to go do the groundwork. And if it means starting in the second league or third league, then you need to do it. So, but we're very happy right now. We've got a lot of players in SA, which is at least giving us the opportunity to raise our standard. And then we have got some players now that are aspiring to go over. And I think the World Cup has opened the door for some of our players, and we have no doubt that once we get a few over there, that we'll be very competitive.
I mean, and do you think that the World Cup now, obviously, like you say, we've been at the World Cup before, but it's almost as if this one attracted a lot more attention locally than previous ones. Do you think that's going to have done a good thing for the growth of hockey in the country, that you're going to get a lot more interest?
No, absolutely. And I think, again, thanks to the Ministry of Sport, you know, coming in and getting involved. You know, if it it wasn't for them. They do add value. Our marketing team at the NHU really, really did a great job to put it out there. And yeah, I think the performance, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me and Shane. You don't realize.
I can imagine.
You get given the money, you've got all the publicity.
It's not, you've got to deliver now.
It's not nice going to a tournament and coming last.
Yeah. You
know? So yeah, there was added pressure. We didn't realize. There's a big investment from the ministry, and we wanted to give them a return on that money.
Mm.
And I think we did.
Okay. But, I mean, like most of our sporting codes, in the, you know, we get noticed overseas. The commentators were obviously mentioning, you know, how we punching above our weight, this tiny little country down in Africa. But one of the praises that the commentators were awarding, it stood out to me because it was sort of away from sport in a way. One of the commentators was talking about how friendly, how well-mannered and polite our teams are. And I was just wondering, is that something that the two of you have specifically reinforced?
Yeah, it's really close to my heart. You know, everyone thinks, you know, we don't all have the skill sets of the Europeans or whatever. We don't have the experience, but we have unity. And that was always our goal, to make sure we had unity. There were times during this, it's quite emotional, when, you know, during this time we had the opportunity to go at each other. And we said one of our core values was honesty. So there were times when we got into those rooms and we were really, really honest with one another. And at the end of the day, those and the men and the women, it's one vision, one passion, and one family. You know, so we went out there having each other's backs, believing in one another, because we cannot do this alone, and we're too small to do this alone. So that really was one of our core values, to go out there and make sure that we went out as a unit, no matter what we did.
Yeah, I think, David, a big part of being at the world level is team health, and we really focused on that. And team health really adds value to the bottom line. I think people don't realize you can have all the talent in the world walk onto the field, but I think a lot of it is shown off the field, you know, the characters of the players, the way they, you know, sort of respect each other, respect the management teams. And yeah, the most important thing for us was to get team health sorted, which I think we did.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And then yeah, I think the results come with that.
Talking about those conversations off the field, Trevor, there's a question I've been dying to know the answer to. So at the end of the third quarter, during the men's team's second game against Belgium, we were 7-1 down.
Yeah.
When we came back in the final quarter, we scored 5 goals. We had the Belgians very, very worried. We had the commentators on their feet. What exactly did you say to the guys between the quarters?
Well, I think, that's just, unfortunately, what Shaney was harping on is the inexperience of not being able to compete at that level all the time. And I think it took us 3 chuckers to realize that, you know, we can be world class. And to score, you know, 5 goals against the number 3 in the world in 1 chucker, 10 minutes. You know, trust me, David, I ask that every single game. Guys, can't we do that for 4 chuckers? You know? And, I think it's just the lack of experience. I think by the time of, you know, you got to the last chucker, it was a matter of, we've got nothing to lose, let's just go out and you know, play our game. And they did us proud, but unfortunately I think that's what we're saying. If we don't get that exposure consistently, you know, it doesn't help going to the World Cup and then waiting till the last chucker to be able to prove how good you can be.
I mean, it was super exciting. I mean, not just that chucker, watching all of our games, the men's and the women's games. We're so glad that we were able to watch it as well, and it was sort of televised. Lastly, what's next then on the calendar? We've been talking about exposure. We've been talking about only getting to play against South Africa. Do we have any plans? What's next for the national hockey teams?
I have plans and a vision that I have to present it to someone, and hopefully they listen. Hopefully, you know, we get the backing, and it's all about, I'm so inspired, I want to start tomorrow. But again, it all depends on the 4-year plan and on the executive and you know, them all buying into it and going forward. But I'm really excited to give back from what I've learned.
So yeah, so we can't let the ball drop now. You know, I think we need to take advantage of the hype that surrounded the whole tournament. So, you know, we have basic plans that we implemented, and I think in order to get better results than what you got at this one, you have to relook and see what you can do more. So we've got the Malaysia tour at the end of the year. Then we will definitely play SA in a reciprocal test series, you know, probably what, once or twice a year. Then we'll have Inkosi Cup again every year up until the World Cup. And in between that, now, you know, part of our plan is just to try get funding and hopefully from the ministry or someone that can support us in maybe doing a couple of European tours, because they are the, you know, game changers.
Yeah.
You know, they're setting the pace. And if you look at it, even South Africa, you know, we're just one step behind them. So they would be the benchmark, and we need to get out there and play them more often.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to chat to me. Thank you so much for everything that you did for all of us over there.
Yeah. Thank you. It was inspiring. Thank you.
Just to end off, Dave, can we just say thank you to our management teams? Mm-hmm. Without them, you know, we can go and coach all day. To Mary Hansen, Taryn Zert, to our assistant coaches, Martin and to Calvin, to our physios, to Ziggy, our mental coach, which helped a lot. And then, of course, to our VAs, you know, that helped us, Rania and Marika Short.
The awesome team.
We really had a really good team dynamic, and without them, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Big jobs need powerful tools and solutions. At Industrial Building Supplies and Plant Hire, we offer top quality construction equipment for hire and for sale, and are a proud dealer for ABE Construction Chemicals. Whatever your project, we've got the right equipment, hassle free. Contact us today and take your project to the next level with IBS. Industrial Building Supplies and Plant Hire.
Whilst you may only go to other pharmacies when you're...
Oh, I'm feeling flat.
At Langehans Pharmacy, you'll find more than flats. You'll find high heels, sneakers, boots, you name it.
I love this pair.
That's right. You'll find your soulmate.
These are so me.
Famous brands including Green Cross, Hush Puppies, Tsonga, Froggy, and Woodland. Langehans, so much more than just a pharmacy. Come find your soulmate. 7 Independence Avenue, Auspannplatz.
Langehans Pharmacy, open till 8.
Investing for your goals should be simpler, smoother, and safer. With multi-managed investments by Alex Forbes, we simplify your investment journey by bringing together top asset managers to create the perfect blend for you. Our well-diversified portfolios ensure consistent returns, even in volatile markets. And we negotiate competitive management fees, ensuring you get the most out of your investments. Interested? Contact us on 061-293-7000.
Alex Forbes. Insight. Advice. Impact.
Nova 103.5 stands with the Namibian people in celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Sam Nujoma.
We must maintain the unity of purpose and action. We must remain vigilant and disciplined too. And we must have respect among ourselves. A nation without respect among its ranks and file will never be able to stand on its own feet, let alone fighting a fascist regime like that to border and defeat it. Therefore, unity here is the sharp weapon.
May Dr. Sam Nujoma's vision for a united and prosperous Namibia continue to guide us. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, loved ones, and the entire Namibian nation.
We'll be right back. headlines on Nova Sunrise.
Taking a look at some of the latest regional and international news headlines, the eThekwini Metropolitan Municipality in South Africa says it will update citizens within 2 months about the status of the Go Durban bus project, which was supposed to launch in 2017 with the aim of overhauling the city's public transportation system. At present, it is still not operational, with over 8 billion rand already spent. Beset by debt and billions of dollars in unfunded priorities, African leaders have approved a fund to provide concessional lending to cash-strapped governments. The facility, known as the African Financial Stability Mechanism, will be managed by the African Development Bank, will have its own credit rating, and will be able to borrow from international money markets. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will skip the two-day Group of 20 meeting in Johannesburg that starts on Thursday after criticizing host South Africa's policies as anti-American. Top European diplomats, as well as Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, are all expected at the meeting, while the U.S. will be represented by a lower-level delegation. And Italy's National Union for Journalists has submitted a criminal complaint to prosecutors in Rome after Giorgio Meloni's government shut down questions in Parliament over suspicions it had illegally used spyware technology to hack the phones of critics instead of criminals.
Sports news on Nova 103.5.
In rugby news, Springbok coach Rassie Erasmus has called up a further 25 players for the virtual national alignment camp ahead of the new international season. Erasmus initially named 56 players on Friday from the Sharks, Stormers, Lions and Bulls for the in-person camps that will be held in Cape Town from the 10th to 12th of March. But on Wednesday afternoon, SA Rugby announced that several overseas-based players and a few more local ones would attend the virtual alignment camp on the, camp on the 27th of March. Of the 81 players who will now be attending the camps, 18 are already Rugby World Cup winners and 4 others have Springbok caps. In cricket news, centuries from Tom Latham and Will Young set New Zealand on their way to a convincing 60-run win over hosts Pakistan in the opening game of the Champions Trophy. The Black Caps were put into bat in Karachi and despite losing 3 early wickets, kept their composure in a superbly paced innings to post 320 for 5. Opener Young, only playing because of an injury to Rachin Ravindra, set the tone on his way to a 107-ball century and put on 118 with Latham for the fourth wicket.